You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
Casey is considered the godmother of women's recovery books and is a leading voice in the art of compassion, acceptance, creativity, and mindfulness. She started her addiction recovery journey in 1974, and on her road to recovery from alcohol and drugs, she joined Al-Anon and then AA. However, even after 18 months of being sober, she felt a profound emptiness and deep despair. It was then she experienced a literal angel knocking on her door, which moved her from the potential of committing suicide to a path of connecting with what she describes as her higher power, which has served as her guide ever since. Here we'll be exploring the lessons and wisdom she has learned and has shared with literally millions through her books, lectures, and webinars. Her insights are reminders of what we inherently know but need to rediscover for ourselves again and again. Dr. Karen Casey, who received her PhD in philosophy with an emphasis on Native American studies, is an accomplished author with over 24 books, including Each Day, A New Beginning, Daily Meditations for Women, which I might add that is in its 40th anniversary edition. She is also the author of 52 Ways to Live the Course in Miracles, Cultivate a Simpler, Slower, More Love-Filled Life. Karen's focus as a writer and spiritual teacher is to strengthen our connection to a higher power, which is the invisible source of inspiration, guidance, strength, and wisdom available to each of us. Join us for the next hour as we explore how we may live with greater joy and intentionality with our guest, Dr. Karen Casey. I'm speaking with Karen in her home by remote connection. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Karen, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Justine. I'm just delighted to be here. I've heard marvelous things about you and your program, and I'm just so glad that I get to be a guest on it.
Oh, I share your excitement about having you as a guest. It's my honor to have you and just talk about this wonderful subject and go back into a little bit of your background so our listeners can know you came into Al-Anon. You were like 35 years old. So tell us, what made you decide to go to Al-Anon in the first place?
All right. Well, you know, as is true for a lot of people, I think that codependency was a primary struggle that I had. And I'm inclined to think that I might have been born codependent. And that was, in fact, what made the draw to alcohol at age 13 so appealing to me, because my focus had so often been on other people and how I was being perceived by others and how I could hold them hostage so that I would not feel alone and rejected. And that is who I grew up being.
Well, what do you mean? I want to ask you, what hold them hostage? What does that mean, Karen?
In essence, to cling to them and not let them escape. You know, I mean, codependent people, men or women, really do cling to their partners. It's a way of trying to control the partner, but it's really a way of trying to find peace within themselves. Because if they can hold somebody else hostage, then they don't feel alone and fearful. And that is really what codependency is so often about. We think it's about taking charge of others, and that's part of it. But it's taking charge of others so that we feel greater peace, greater ease. And my first husband, to whom I was married for 12 years, we met while we were at Purdue University. We were married for 12 years, and it was really a very crazy alcoholic marriage. And certainly I was as sick with alcoholism as he was. But of course, it was easy to focus on his because his acting out was more obvious than my own. But at the end of that marriage, I ended up choosing other people so similar to him. Mm. And that is what ultimately led me into Al-Anon in 1974, because I was involved in a relationship. And that individual went to treatment, and his counselor said to me, I think you should go to Al-Anon. And at that point, I had never heard of Al-Anon.
So about what year was that?
74. That was
1974.
And by that time, my first husband and I had moved to Minneapolis, Minnesota. He was pursuing a PhD in American Studies, which unfortunately, because of his alcoholism, he never did finish. But that's why we ended up here, where I still am, in Minneapolis. And but I went to Al-Anon not having any idea what to expect, Justine. And many of our listeners, many of whom may be familiar or not, I went to Al-Anon absolutely mystified, not knowing what it was going to be about, never having heard of Al-Anon before.
Al-Anon is primarily for people who are working with other people, who are living with other people who have addictions.
That's right. Al-Anon is really kind of, it's for the families of alcoholics. And that's why that gentleman said to me, you need to go to Al-Anon. Well, you know, I walked into that first Al-Anon meeting and I was absolutely dumbfounded, because it was an experience unlike any experience I had ever had before. I was the kind of individual who was never comfortable going into a setting where I knew nobody, which is kind of a classic symptom, too, of the codependent. And but I walked into this setting of men and women, approximately 30 people there, and I immediately felt at ease. There was some sense of welcome that I felt from those people. And as I sat down, and they were all so friendly to me and to each other. And as I sat down, it felt as though I was at home, which was a feeling I had not ever had before. My own home growing up had never been nurturing. And it was really because of struggles within my own family, not alcoholic struggles, but other kinds of struggles in my family. And so it was the most unusual experience I had ever had up to that point in time. And I sat there and I thought, this is a place I will return to because of how good it felt. But I expected at Al-Anon, honestly, I expected that they would hand me a little leaflet that said, here's what you do if you want that partner of yours to quit drinking.
Right.
I thought Al-Anon was about my stopping him from drinking. And of course, that isn't what Al-Anon is about at all. Al-Anon is about ourselves learning how to handle our own lives, be comfortable with who we are. And so I left kind of dismayed that they didn't give me that. I saw on the wall the whole list of the 12 steps that are really the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous that are adapted for Al-Anon. And I thought, oh, dear, I don't know that this will ever work for me because there were references to God. And at that point, I just was, you know, I was working on my doctorate. It was like, you know, I didn't have a relationship with God. That wasn't who I saw myself as being. And so I thought, oh, I don't know that this will work. But, you know, but the feeling caught me. And I knew that I wanted more of it. And the funny thing, Justine, is that they sent me home that night, not with that list of here's what you do to keep that person from drinking, but a little daily meditation book for Al-Anon, one day at a time in Al-Anon. And they said, well, now you take this home and you come back next week. And it never occurred to me that in fact you read one page a day. It never occurred to, I'd never heard of a meditation book before. And I went home and I read it cover to cover.
The high Western achiever.
Yeah, right. And so I went back that next week and they said, well, now how are you? And I said, oh, I'm just fine. I finished the book. And they all just laughed and said, well, you know, perhaps you didn't notice that it's you just read a page a day. So we suggest you just start over with today's date and read it one page at a time. But, you know, today I look back at that, Justine, and I just kind of chuckle because I think, you know, I never heard of a meditation book. And it was kind of like God's little joke, because then ultimately I was to write so many meditation books myself, with that first one being each day a new beginning. So Al-Anon became a regular practice. Now, I didn't stay completely committed from 74 on because I ended up then getting into Alcoholics Anonymous in 76. And I had a sponsor who said, why don't you just focus on AA for a while? But then I have gone back. Then I went back to Al-Anon too. And so I've been doing both programs for most of these 47 years that I have been sober in AA.
Wow. Long time, long time. I want to remind our listeners, this is just such a, thank you so much for sharing like so vividly this story. We're just right here with you. And many of us have experienced some of the same things. So many of us have gone through Al-Anon or AA or in some recovery program. So we're right there with you. And I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Karen Casey, and she is the author of Each Day, a New Beginning, Daily Meditations for Women. And it's also for men. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And if you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, womens-spirituality.com, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. Thank you. I'm here with Dr. Karen Casey, and she is the author of many, many books. Her first one is, and which is still just very, very popular and in its 40th anniversary edition, Each Day, A New Beginning. And also she's the author of 52 Ways to Live the Course in Miracles. And we'll be talking about that in a moment. But here we are, we're talking about your, Karen, you're now in AA, and you were sober for about 18 months, Al-Anon and AA, and finally you got really sober. But there was something missing. And I think that this is an important, like, point. You said that they were talking about God, and we know that going to any of these meetings, they talk about the higher power and all of that. And some of us have some resistance about that, or feel a little left out of that part of the whole meetings. How was that for you?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Justine, because when I went to the meeting, I would feel very connected because I would be, I think part of the connection I felt was because I felt so connected to the other people that I sat with. And so I felt the comfort that they felt. And so I would go to the meeting and feel just fine. But then I would go home and I would feel that sense of emptiness. And it would gnaw at me. But because I went to so many meetings, you know, a sense of connection was kept alive. But I think after about 18 months, you know, I was just kind of at my wit's ends. It's like, why can't I feel what my friends are feeling? You know, what do they have that I don't have? And I had read a very interesting book by Matthew Fox titled The Musical Mystical Bear. And in that book, he says, don't make such a mystery of your connection to God. Just simply have a cup of coffee. Talk to him like a friend. And I would try that, and that would seem to work. But it still wasn't sustaining me. And so after 18 months, I just sat in my apartment and I thought, you know, this is just not going to work. I never had any thought from the time I went to that first AA meeting of ever taking a drink again. But it seemed totally sensible to me to simply take my life. It felt as though, and you know, I had no anxiety about it. That idea had crossed my mind, Justine, many times earlier in life. I mean, as a child, I would feel at times, you know, it wouldn't matter if I wasn't here. Would anybody really notice? Those kind of ideas would pass through my mind. And it wasn't because it wasn't, I'm sure, a loving family, but I could never feel that love because of the struggles within the family. At any rate, after 18 months, it was like, you know, I think it's time to go. And it felt like a totally normal decision to make. And so I had not gone to the classes I was teaching at the university while I was in graduate school, not making much money, mind you.
Yeah.
I was living in a $100 a month apartment, so that lets you know how much money I was making. But of course, you know, this is a long, long time ago. And so anyway, I thought, you know, I'm just going to turn on the gas. And I rolled up all my towels, tuck in around the windows. It was a one-bedroom apartment. And it did not seem like a big deal. It seemed like the most ordinary decision that I could make. And so I sat there for a minute before I tucked in those towels. I just sat there for a minute, kind of thinking it through. And knowing in my heart it felt fine. not feeling like I needed to reach out, not feeling like I needed to call anybody, to tell anybody what I was going to do. I was just going to take a trip.
Well, I think as you describe all of this, we can just be there with you in that, I would call it extreme isolation.
It was. That's a perfect phrase to use. I felt this extreme isolation from the idea of the presence, whatever that presence might be, that I would occasionally get adrift of at a meeting. I felt none of that in that moment. And so I was ready to get up and take that next step. And there was a loud knock at the door. And I thought, oh my gosh, who could be coming at this point? And the knock was persistent, and it came again and again. And I finally walked over to the door and I said, well, who's there? And I heard this woman's voice, and she said, Pat. And as though I should know her. And I said, Pat? And she said, and she told me her last name, and she said, you and I have an appointment. And I opened the door just a little, and I saw this woman, this beautiful, tall, red-haired woman with her hair up in a bun in the back. I had never laid eyes on her before. She said, I'm a financial planner, and we have an appointment to talk about your finances. She pulled out her little daily planner. You remember those from years ago? Way before pulling out
I still keep one as a backup.
Anyway, sure enough, there is my name. And it was like, oh my gosh. And she said, yes, we have an appointment. And it's my intention that I like to keep the appointments I've made with people. She kind of pushed her way in. I mean, she wasn't really obnoxious at all, but she was a bit assertive. And the way I was feeling, you know, I didn't know what to do, really. And I just kind of backed up. And she came in and she said, are you okay? And I said, no, not really. I said, I'm feeling pretty depressed. And she just walked right into my kitchen and sat down, and which was kind of a surprise. I followed her into my kitchen. She said nothing about the towels on my table. But she said, you know, I'm familiar with depression. And I said, oh? And she said, you know, I've had depression too. And she said, you know, my husband is a recovering alcoholic, and he suffers from depression frequently. And it was like, oh my gosh. And she said, you know, what I've discovered from my reading is that the kind of depression you're talking about, because I said I felt like I was just over this abyss, that there was nothing to hang on to. And she said, you know, what I want you to realize is that you're on the precipice of a spiritual awakening. And she said, that's what's next for you. And she said, there's a name for this, and it's called chemicalization. And she said, if you want to read more about it, there is a book by Catherine Ponder called The Dynamic Laws of Healing, where she talks about chemicalization. And so she said, I want you to just know that God is present on the other side of this abyss. And you simply need to reach your hand across, because God is right there waiting. And you are at, she said, I'm actually envious of where you are right now because of this spiritual awakening that is awaiting you. And within moments, she stood up and walked toward the door. And she said, you know, I believe my business here is done. And she looked at me. Not one word about finances had ever been mentioned. He looked back at me, and she reached her arms out toward me. And she gave me a big hug, and she said, "Karen, I just want you to know that everything is okay. God is right here now." And she walked out. And I never laid eyes on her again. And so I just kind of stood there. It still gives me, if you were right here with me, mm-hmm. you would see the goosebumps. I still know that she was, in my mind, she was an angel on assignment. And had she not shown up, I would not be here talking to you, because it would have been over.
Absolutely.
It was just this most incredible experience. And I didn't know how to ever tell anybody else at that time about what had happened. All I knew is that a woman, an angel, who I'd never seen before, had literally changed my life, had given me my life back by the words that she said. And, you know, I mean, I just think about that. And I really believe that we are encountering angels throughout our life all the time, that we maybe don't recognize it. But, you know, when we meet that person unexpectedly on the street who says just that right thing that kind of changes how we feel in that moment, you know, I look at all of those as, I don't believe there are any accidental encounters in our lives, that we keep encountering those very people, those very comments that are meant for us. She certainly changed my life.
Exactly. And sometimes those comments are not pleasant always.
That's true.
And that sometimes they come and then we go, oh, that's a challenge, or oh, I disagree with that one, or oh, that makes me angry, or yeah. and it elicits some response from us. But ultimately, then there's some gift in that, is I think what you're saying.
I love that. There is a gift. You know, a bit later in my life, I had an experience that, in fact, wasn't a pleasant encounter. And there was an incredible gift in it. But at the time, it was like, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen now?
I want to hear about that gift, but I just need to remind our listeners that I'm here with Dr. Karen Casey, and she is the author of many, many books, including Each Day, a New Beginning, Daily Meditations for Women. Also, one other book I'll mention is 52 Ways to Live the Course in Miracles. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store